be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I'm removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down quickly and write one for 50. Then he said to another, 'And you, how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 measures of wheat. He said, 'Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than the children of light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
For many people, this is the most confusing parable of them all. It seems that Jesus is applauding dishonesty. It's almost scandalous at the surface. But this is one of the reasons why exegesis is really important. The way stewardship worked in the ancient world with tenant farmers is that the landlords were almost always absentee, so that if stewards run their property, and over certain segments of property there was a certain produce that was expected as repayment. The way commissions worked was the same way taxes worked. You were given a quota that you needed to produce. Anything you could gain beyond it was yours to keep. So if someone was going to have to owe the master 50 measures of olive oil, the steward would be able to say, "If you're going to use this field, you're going to owe 100. If you're going to be growing wheat, and the master is going to be owed 100 cores of wheat," the steward would be able to say, "In order to farm this territory, you're going to have to pay 150. And so what likely was happening when this steward was about to get sacked was that he was totally cutting off his entire commission. That exegesis helps with the question of the dishonesty. But the main issue of this parable is what Jesus says at the end. The master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently, for the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than the children of light. Jesus wants us to be just as prudent, if not more, than this savvy steward. This steward, when given the choice between holding on to the possibility of his commission, money, in other words, property, etc., mammon, or saving his life when he was going to lose his job, thought correctly, and he saved his life. He was willing to lose the money in order to save the life. And Jesus says we need to be similarly prudent. He wants the children of the light to be able to think with regard to spiritual things the same way a greedy businessman thinks about earning another million. Jesus wants us to think about the things of the spiritual life better than the greatest football coach thinks about winning football games on Sunday. The Lord wants us to be able to think about the things of the spiritual life more than the most resourceful poor mother in scrounging together new clothes for the beginning of a school year that are new but used, or food on the table for her children, or anything else. Are we that savvy? Do we use the things of this world for the kingdom in order to save our eternal life? Or do we try to hold on to the things of this world, even if it might mean being sacked forever? That's the chief lesson of this parable, the first one. But there are other lessons that the Lord derives immediately from it, which is important for us to keep in context. We'll get these tomorrow. I tell you, Jesus comments on that parable, make friends for yourself with dishonest wealth. And what does he mean with dishonest there? It's just not true. It's monopoly money. Make friends for yourself with the monopoly money of the material things of this world, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwelling. First lesson, how do we use the things of this world? Are we using it for our salvation and salvation of others? Or does it basically become a millstone dragging us downward? For those who live with the vow of poverty, you don't really even have much dishonest wealth, much monopoly money to be able to play with. But the same lesson still applies. All the things of this world, are we using them wisely? Or are we trying to hold on to them in a way that is terribly imprudent? Jesus goes on, the person who is trustworthy in very small matters is trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is dishonest. Somebody who's just living in an untrue world in a small thing is going to live in the untrue, unreal world in the big things. If therefore you're not trustworthy with monopoly money, who will trust you with true wealth? If you're not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? That the Lord gives us these various little things in order to train us for the bigger stuff. But we're able to see with the little stuff what our intentionality is with regard to the big stuff. Jesus wants us to be cagey, wants us to be savvy. Just like he was. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar? We know that Jesus was as wise as a serpent, but as pure as a dove in response. When they came up to talk to him about John the Baptist, he then fires away. Did John come from God or from some other agency? And they didn't want to answer, so Jesus wasn't going to walk into their trap. How many people will be saved? You. Strive, agonize, enter through the narrow gate. Jesus was constantly showing this type of wisdom so that we would likewise have it in general, but also with regard to the things of the world. Likewise, St. Paul. St. Paul used everything. We're getting to the end of 4 weeks of the letter to the Romans. He wrote the letter to the Romans when he was in a jail in Ephesus. Even though he could have complained, even though he could have just sort of wallowed there in the prison cell, he was using his capacity to dictate a letter in order to strengthen another church that he had never even gone to. St. Paul likewise would use whatever wisdom that he could when he went to Athens. He recognized what the Athenians worship. He started there in order to try to take them to true worship. God wants us to be cagey in that same way. He complains that the children of the light basically aren't wise often with the monopoly money and the things of this world. And he wants us to grow, to become really, truly prudent in everything, linking the things of this world to the things of the world that will know no end. Many think that what the Lord wants is a whole bunch of naivete. No. He wants us to be like Him. And He was not naive. It's one last lesson Jesus will give us. No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. In the ancient world, when you were a slave, you really couldn't serve two masters. Today, we can have two jobs, we can have three jobs, we can multitask, we can do it all. Because we're in charge and we've got finite sort of responsibilities in each place. When you were a slave, you were a full-time, full-life slave. It was impossible, in other words, to serve a second. If you were really trying to serve a second, there was inevitably going to become conflicts. You couldn't do both at the same time. And Jesus is teaching us, as a hermeneutic key basically for this entire thing, that we can't serve mammon. If we do, if we try to serve the things of this world, we will perish. It's only by using the things of this world, like this dishonest steward did, his commission, in order to save our life, it's only by doing that that we're really living prudently. So now let's start to just look at the day and look at the mammon we do have. Our time. Are we going to use it wisely, or are we just going to try to cling on to it? Our health. Are we going to use it for ourselves, or are we going to use it for others? Our friendships. Are we going to try to bring our friends to God, or are we just going to use it for some of this worldly consolation? Our vocations. Are we going to use it as a thing for vanity, or are we going to use it as a thing for humility and building up the kingdom of the Lord? Today, as we mark the votive mass of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Jesus wants to make our hearts like unto His. This was a heart that was pure, which meant single-minded. It was totally focused on what the goal was. All His deepest human and divine aspirations were all for the glory of the Father and for the salvation of the human race. We prayed at the beginning of this Mass that we would be clothed in the Lord's virtues so that, conformed to the heart of His Son, we might achieve the true wealth. Let us ask the Lord for the grace to be good stewards of all the gifts that He's given us, wise, prudent stewards, so that He might eventually allow us to become stewards of all the spiritual gifts that the saints throughout this month of November rain down for us to receive. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.